The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with the University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. Back where he belongs, in the upper left of my screen, but always prominently placed in my heart, it's Professor Dave Chow.
Oh, pleasure to be here, as always.
How's it going, Dave?
So far, so good. No complaints much yet.
Any raucous move-in parties recently in the neighborhood?
No. I think they're moved in. I'm hoping they got it out of their system already. You know, mind you, Matt, I've at least got a house to buffer the noise. Unfortunately caught the full brunt of our new neighbors on the street.
Yes. So. Why don't you let everybody know what happened last week?
We just had somebody moving in. That's all. And they just decided to open up the windows and blare some music while moving in.
At the Dave Chow hours of the day. So that started about 11 and went until about 4 or 5.
Well, you know,
your neighbors right next door to you, Dave?
No, two doors down.
Yeah, but
that's not acceptable.
Yeah, the side of our house basically got the brunt. And from where I was, you know, blissfully asleep, it really did sound, Dave, from where we are, like the voices were right outside our window. It was kind of a freaky, like, auditory experience, but it was not cool. Once I wake up from something like that, it's very difficult to go back to sleep.
Aww.
I'm honestly hoping that it's they're young, get it out of your system, not have another one until next year's dream cruise.
Right. That'd be nice too. Yeah. That would be very nice.
So that's what we hope. I mean, I did subtly drop hints that we're a nice, quiet neighborhood.
Dave Chow, dean of the neighborhood. That's how I refer to him now.
Walk softly, pour clam chowder on your lawn if you mess with me. That's all. So
there's a lot of clam chowder references happening on this show.
Darn right.
Professor Aaron Bell is here from our Center for Excellence in Teaching and Learning. What's the volume level at your house?
You know, it's funny you should ask, but I live on 14 Mile Road, so it often sounds like there's low-level jets just cruising the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Thought maybe it was Dave Chow and his roadster driving by my house.
No. My muffler is fixed.
It's very loud, and it's almost, though, like I've gotten to the point where it's like the sweet, dulcet tones of I-75. It's almost like I'm at the ocean, and it just lulls me to sleep, so it's okay.
Oh, that's awesome. Continuing down the line here, I see Professor Dan Maggio occupying the Charles Nelson Reilly space on my Hollywood Squares.
That's funny. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Dan, how are things?
Good. Our neighborhood is pretty quiet, actually. So we've been very fortunate.
That's nice.
Really curling season has started.
Oh my gosh, you're curling. Yeah.
Yeah. So the body is letting me know that.
Wait a minute, weren't you supposed to get like 1,001 massages? And...
No, actually, I spent all summer kind of conditioning and it's helped. But anyway, so we don't need to go into that. But, the ice is in and we kicked off another season, so things are good.
Nice. I was just going to say, I dropped a little dad joke on my students the other day. I know I've used it here before. How do you keep Canadian bacon from curling in the pan? You take away its tiny little brooms. So you're ready to go.
Oh, that's so Jason Roach-esque.
It really is Roach-esque, but it gave Beth a good chuckle for today. Yeah, that's great. Yes. Speaking of Beth, Professor Beth Oljar is here from philosophy.
Hey, Matt.
What's going on?
Not a whole lot, other than being very amused by that curling joke.
Beth, get ready to offer symbolic logic every semester. Let's just go there. If you're getting 30 plus people in two consecutive terms, we'll send you tons of students, I promise.
Well, you know, if I never taught anything other than symbolic logic again, I'd be thrilled because it would mean I was never grading any papers.
Mm.
So I wouldn't mind teaching it every semester, but I will have to run it past my colleagues. I don't think it should be a problem. We'll see if I can still get them in if it's offered every term.
I'm just thinking there's a parade of science students ready and willing and excited about taking a class like that. You know, math without the numbers, if you don't mind. That's somehow the way that I advertise it to them. So,
well, and for students who don't really like nuances, who are not sort of into the grayness of philosophy, which is fine, right? They can satisfy their philosophy religious studies elective by taking something that's more toward their, you know, bent of mind.
Excellent.
It's all good.
It's advising season. What can I say? These are the conversations that we have. It's a very important part of the term that everybody wants to be over as quickly as possible.
We don't seem to do much. I mean, students don't have to get released. We don't have to release a pin. I mean, in our college, it seems like they pretty much can do what they want, which I don't think is the best thing, but...
Right. Yes. It remains to be seen.
My advising services have not been needed for years. So,
I see. Yeah. How about the advising services of Professor Heather Hill from the Department of English?
Well, I was just trying to set up a bunch of advising appointments right before this
there you go.
Session. So I meet with students.
Nice.
But, and how are... Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I was going to say, you know, how are your classes going on top of all that this semester?
Okay. You know, sometimes it's like trying to pull anything teeth. Out of them is just...
Do you need Matt and myself to come on by and talk about Back to the Future again?
No. Sorry.
Your services will not be needed again.
Your services are not necessary. No, it's going fine. You know, it's okay. It is what okay. It is. They are. I think students are slowly getting back to being engaged. You know, yep. Aaron probably has been reading lots of articles about student disengagement and so on and so forth. How we're gonna overcome that hump.
Are they all taking intro from me this semester? Uh-oh. All those disengaged?
Oh, probably. I mean, I think it's disengagement is rampant.
Yes, so, I think that is a true statement for sure.
And it's making us all work harder. Yes. And when there's not energy, I'm sorry, I'm giving you like a little lecture here.
No, this is great.
I'm probably preaching to the choir. When there's not a lot of energy coming back, you are in charge of all of the energy. So it's like,
the class can be as lively as you want it to be, mm-hmm. but that can't just be because I'm up here turning somersaults or whatever in front
right,
of you,
or right? doing I mean, a song and dance routine. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Have you tried that?
Yeah. can we watch?
I have frequently asked my students, like, do I smell bad? Is that, what, you know,
be careful.
Is that yeah, what's going on here?
Right. Matt, there's not a skunk feature on Rate My Professor, is there? I mean,
there could possibly be, and if there
I had a student the other day tell me that I smelled like a vanilla latte.
Oh, well, that's a great thing to smell like. That's a great thing.
That's my drink.
Yeah, right there. Hey. Huh?
Hey, I always smell the markers. I don't know if that's a good thing.
Anyway, I will. You may proceed to another panelist.
Thanks, Heather.
Now that we've all vented about that fact. Yeah.
Exactly. Although once I introduce this panelist, we might go on another tangent with regard to disengagement, of which I have a conversation with this guest panelist about every 48 hours on the subject. We're very proud to have a guest panelist with us from my department, chemistry and biochemistry. Professor Mirwa Abdel Latif, we call her Mar Latif, and the students really, really like you, Mar. We're very, very glad to have you on the tenure track in our department.
Oh, thank you. That's the news for me. They really like me. I didn't feel it that way in the morning talking about disengagement. And by the way, we talk about it every like 1 hour on the clock throughout the day. I actually, interestingly enough, I just talked to a few of my TAs about why they think their classmates are disengaged. And one of them told me, I just think they're lazy. I'm like, okay, let's help. And then they look at me and say, how can you fix it? And then
car giveaways.
I don't fix lazy. I just, hopefully they get the value and recognize that we're there to help them. And they need it as bad as we want to help them. So
yeah,
I think that's part of it as well. But if I have one more discussion about disengagement, I think I could potentially write an article at this point. I just have so many discussions, you know, no solutions, but certainly a lot of discussions.
Yes, absolutely. That's a good way to put it.
Is it time for a lottery ticket in your class, maybe?
Oh, there we go. What might $1.6 billion fix? Interesting.
I'd be willing to give that a try.
I'll take a chance. I'll step up.
Well, folks, I think you know how the game is played, but if you don't, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. If you don't stump the panel, you also win a prize. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways, emailing us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. This should be something to get our brains primed for the rest of the show. Greetings, professors. This quiz is meant to prod your minds to think outside the box, as they say. I will give you the title of a movie, but in other words, and you'll have to name the actual film. I'll give you a little assistance by telling you the number of words in the actual movie title. Here's an example. The first one is done for you. The other words clue is bacon residue, one word.
Grease.
The answer would be grease. Yes.
Tasty grease. Yes. Oh.
12 out of 15 is a winning score. Mar, it's really important you understand when these people send in question sets, there's a rubric. There's always a rubric.
Really?
And it always comes back to food.
Yep, it does.
No matter what.
This is making me nervous. I'm on the other end. I'm getting graded instead of grading.
It says, good luck, professors. All the best. Our good and often question sender, Kara Kowalczyk of Rochester Hills, Michigan. Thank you.
We have to assess this. That's all I want to know, because I'll shoot myself now if we have to assess this.
I don't think so.
Okay,
I don't think so. Let's see what we can do.
But if we do get them all right, we double our pay increase, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Nobody told me that before I started. Right.
All right. Number one here, folks. It's three words is the movie title. For the record, it looks like we're counting things like prepositions and articles and things like that.
Oh, the and.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha.
Galahad After Lights Out. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Galahad.
Night.
A night.
After dark.
The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight. Yeah,
it is the Dark Knight. Good.
Heath Ledger is the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
May he rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Three words. Leonardo trumps Samuel Morse.
The Da Vinci Code?
The Da Vinci Code.
Ah,
yeah.
Da
Vinci Code. Oh. We're doing all right here.
I just watched that and I never thought about it.
How about four words? Oh. Checking into a no-tell motel anonymously. Ooh, this is tough.
Four words, you said?
Four words.
Okay, so much for Sleepless in Seattle.
Checking into a no-tell motel.
Anonymously.
What's a no-tell motel?
Something with like dangerous liaisons, but not that. But like something
where you go to have a shady affair, I think, right?
Yeah. Oh.
Yes. Oh.
Like that one on 8 Mile. In
hey, which one?
Toledo. No, I just...
Could you repeat the clue, please?
Absolutely. Checking into a no-tell motel anonymously. That would be a four-word movie title. And frankly, this title that Kara is giving us is a little more, if I remember, about the plot of the movie than even like a title replacement.
Okay, let's work on checking into a hotel. What do we do? Register? Or
how about I give you the two very prominent stars of the movie who would have been Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt?
Oh, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith was the name of the
movie. Oh, okay.
How is that related?
So I see if you're checking in under a generic name.
Yeah, you might check in as...
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's actually a really good movie.
Is it? I've never seen it.
Oh, yeah. It's really good and funny.
Okay.
Lots of chemistry between those two. Oh,
I like it already.
As he said, Brad said, a great collaboration that turned into a greater collaboration until, of course, they got divorced. So.
Yes, mm-hmm. That is true. How about one-word movie title, Rick Ocasek, Benjamin Orr et al.
Cars.
Cars.
Okay, cars. Okay, yeah, cars.
That's right. Okay, how about Haven of singer actress Miss Bailey? Movie title is two words.
Home Miss Bailey.
Haven of singer actress Miss Bailey. Two words.
Bailey who? Pearl? Bailey.
No.
Pearl Harbor?
Pearl Harbor, yeah.
Oh,
Pearl
very Harbor, good. Please.
A little bit of mental done. Gymnastics here.
Oh, I
here.
Thought
this
you said
good.
Maven.
Oh, well, it could be a
look.
Maven too.
Jim Tubbs is signing in.
Bless whoever is sneezing. And also, Jim Tubbs is logging in. That's cool.
That was Drew actually sneezing.
Oh, so. Sorry. I mean, I can still wish him well.
Sorry, I'm late.
Hey, Jim.
No, it's okay.
We're glad to have you. We're in the middle of a question set.
Okay.
I am giving the number of words in a movie title, and we're sort of getting like a goofy retelling of the movie title. May or may not have anything to do with the plot of the movie. Maybe listen on in on this one till you catch on. Three-word movie title, but the alternate name is Waltzing with Lupines.
Dancing
with Wolves.
That
one was easy.
It catches on nicely.
I feel better. I got one. Wow. All of a sudden, I was like really reconsidering my career path. I was
Will
like,
you
what
stop?
Am I doing here?
It never getting any answers right is never really the point. Mostly the point is just to crack each other up and spend time with each other. So,
really,
if all else fails, Matt will give us enough clues so that we don't come off looking like total doofuses.
Total, yeah, just like three quarters doofuses.
That's
all.
Right.
72%.
That's good at that.
How about two words? Smith and Wesson above all else.
Guns of blazing, guns above, guns of Navarone.
Two words.
High Noon, no.
Oh, High Noon, that was clever.
Very high profile sequel to this movie this last summer.
Oh.
Last summer? Oh, Ghost come on, Dan, Ghost. Work it out, man, work.
Oh, it's not the Tom Cruise movie, is it?
Yeah.
Top Gun.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That, oh. Sorry, Dan. I could tell that grim look of disgust on your face.
I'm sorry I had to mention Tom Cruise.
I had a student.
He was actually good in Top Gun Maverick.
But Dan really loathes Tom Cruise.
He does.
Although I like Minority Report, but I say that all the time.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
That is a good movie.
Interesting.
I had a student in class that was wearing a t-shirt with a cartoon rubber ducky picture. And then next to that one, another cartoon rubber ducky picture, and then a picture of Val Kilmer next. So that would be Duck, Duck, Goose.
Got it.
Duck, Duck, Goose. This,
yeah. I thought that was cute. Whoa, I hear the clock tower through Mars' microphone. That's pretty awesome. Folks, three words for the movie title, Hurricane Without Faults.
Perfect Storm.
The Perfect Storm, yes.
Very
nice.
Good.
Nice.
Very, very good.
I am not watching enough movies. That's what I decided.
How about three words for the movie title? Faulty Peripheral Vision.
Peripheral Vision?
Blind Side?
Yeah, The Blind Side.
Blind side. Hey, Aaron.
Good job, Aaron.
Very, very nice.
One for the team.
Oh my, we're really going deep. So the title of the movie again is four words, but all you get is Mute Ovines.
Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, someone was waiting for that one.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Come on, how many ovine questions do we get in a year, you know?
I mean, that's true. We're waiting for the all ovine question set. I'm sure it's.
And how about a whistle pig question?
Come on, Jim, we're still waiting for your cruise ship questions, aren't we?
That's right.
Yep. Still waiting.
Okay, how about two words? Patriotic fruit-filled tart.
American pie.
Very good. Yeah,
it's going over the top.
Another great movie.
Yes.
Five words in the real movie title: Scoliosis patient who inhabits a Parisian cathedral.
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Scoliosis?
Well, I mean, he did have a back problem. I mean, that was pretty well documented in the book, you know.
Worse than scoliosis, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm thinking Marty Feldman here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Young Frankenstein.
No, I'm thinking Charles Laughton.
Oh, yeah.
Sanctuary.
What hump?
Quasimodo. Four words in the real movie title. Unrest on a paper towel.
Bounty. Something bounty.
Mutiny on the Bounty?
Mutiny on the Bounty. Yes,
very good.
Very good. Just a couple more of these. Mar, we've already cleared the rubric for the A here. So
yeah.
How about three words on the movie title? Infant worth six digits.
$6 million baby.
$1 million baby. Yeah.
Well, the six million dollar man also.
$1 million baby.
That's awesome.
I got my COVID booster. That's
all right.
No,
you get your brain booster. I don't want to hear it.
No, Aaron, I'm with you. I mean, when I got it last week, it was just knocked me out.
I was first in line today, Aaron, and I got COVID and flu, and I wasn't ready for the fact that they were going to put it both in the same muscle. So,
ow.
This is going to be rough. It's going to be a rough 24 hours.
Why would they do that?
They said that it was better. And I'm like,
better for who?
Better for who? Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say.
I got a COVID, my third COVID booster and flu shot the same day, but in different arms, and they ached terribly for a few days.
In your third arm, right?
Oh. Yeah, exactly.
Oh. Ow.
All right. One more movie.
Last one.
All right.
Three words to the movie title. Montgomery residence with a touch of sucrose.
Sweet Home Alabama.
Very good. Very good. I mean, that's 100% right there. That's literally 100%.
That's also another good movie, by the way.
Yeah.
I want to say it's Reese Witherspoon.
It is.
Yeah.
I like Reese Witherspoon.
All right. Thank you for those questions, Kara. Those were actually pretty awesome. We have some, let's just call this part of the show Bits and Pieces. So what I did when I checked the Ask the Professor email the other day is that I found that we had a couple single questions, if you can believe it.
Oh.
Sent in by folks. And I thought that we might attack those right now.
Orphans. Okay.
We actually had one sent in by a member of Heather's department. So this is from Professor Mary Catherine Harrison, our poetry professor at Detroit Mercy. And apparently this was sent from her daughter, Eve. Does that make sense, Heather?
Sure.
Okay. Is there, are there any perfect spheres in nature?
Yes.
Probably.
Is that a yes or no question?
I guess that's it. No, that's the only question that was submitted. That's it.
Are there any perfect spheres in nature?
In nature.
I would ask the chemistry professors.
There you go, right.
Well, I'm thinking, like, could there be like a gaseous bubble underwater?
That's fairly natural. Fairly.
Yeah, I mean, just the tension, as the artist here is trying to mess with the nature.
So I would wonder, not being a physicist, does gravity distort what you think might be a perfect sphere?
The first thing I thought of is we could say that a planet was a perfect sphere, but the Earth isn't a sphere. It's an oblate spheroid. So
what makes a perfect sphere?
Ooh,
the surface points are equidistant from the center point.
I knew there was a mathematical definition of that. There had to be.
Why is that the definition of perfect?
I like that.
They're all equidistant. It's perfect.
I don't know. So what about at the molecular level?
I would think so.
Ooh, there you go, Dan.
I mean, Mar, would you say that a single atom is a perfect sphere?
Mm.
Got to think about it.
That is interesting.
Now, aren't you glad you showed up?
Is there a hidden agenda in this question?
Do you think someone's trying to invent a super weapon?
Possibly.
Well, but there are things that are like have Fibonacci curves, right? So why couldn't there be a perfect sphere?
That's my thought too. Nature is amazing.
It's true.
I can't envision that there's nothing at all that could not be a perfect sphere.
Guessing the answer is yes.
I would say yes for that reason, just variety.
I mean, I actually like the first example that we were given because I think the simpler the object or whatever you want to say is, the better. So if it's just a bubble underwater and it has enough time to compress in going from where it is to the surface, I'm guessing it comes pretty close to being a perfect sphere.
Well, if we're Platonists, right? I mean, if we follow Plato, then of course, no physical thing is ever perfect.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. They're all just approximations of
perfection.
A form.
Actually, that wasn't what I was saying, but it fits well with my thesis.
It sounded really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I've tried to make a lot of perfect spheres out of Play-Doh, and it always fails, Beth.
Oh, yeah. For me, too.
Dave, I'm imagining, you know that episode of SpongeBob where SpongeBob is the most eloquent artist,
mm-hmm.
and he draws a perfect sphere by first drawing Squidward's face, and then erasing it, and then erasing it some more, and then he gets a perfect sphere.
Yeah.
Reminded me of you.
I wonder if Eve has been watching SpongeBob.
Oh, yes. I see.
I just have to think a nitrogen bubble floating up in the water would be pretty close to a perfect sphere.
There you go.
And it doesn't have to be a huge bubble either, is what I'm thinking.
Right.
Tiny bubble.
Tiny nitrogen bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should all try to get a perfect sphere for Matt's birthday.
Yeah.
Get a perfect sphere.
Or put him in one.
Yeah.
That's right.
Here's your sphere, Matt. Thanks.
Happy birthday, Matt.
Thank you, Heather. Thank you very much.
Well, what was the right answer?
Is your birthday today?
Yes. My birthday is today.
What are you doing?
Birthday.
Celebrate.
Did we wish Matt happy birthday on Facebook?
This is the real deal here, folks.
No, Beth, just come on over. We'll just party outside of his window till 4 o'clock in the morning. That's all.
Just like last Friday.
There we go.
Other side of the spectrum, professors, because we've got to wrap up our show in about a minute or two, but we did get one other single question. For the record, Eve sent us absolutely no version of, you know, what she thought it was going to be. It's just a thought-provoking question.
We've had a bit. Now we're going to have a piece.
Yes. Now this actually has a follow-up.
Oh.
In the classic movie Blazing Saddles, what famous comedian and movie actor wrote Alex Karras's lines? Alex played the role of Mongo in the movie.
Mongo Pawn in Game of Life.
This was sent in by Charles Daniels, No City Indicated.
No City Indicated.
What famous comedian you said?
What famous comedian and movie actor wrote Alex Karras's lines for that movie?
It wasn't Gene Wilder or Mel Brooks, but.
That was in the 70s?
I actually have heard the answer to that at some point, and I just can't recall it.
Mel Brooks.
Yeah, when you hear the correct response, it's going to make perfect sense to you, but it does take a little bit of head scratching.
Well,
to,
like Richard Pryor?
It was Richard Pryor.
That's the only 70s comic that I know.
Yep.
You know that they wanted him to play the Cleavon Little role, and the investors were just not, they weren't going to take a chance with him being on the set. That's all.
I think Cleavon was a better choice.
I do too.
Although Richard Pryor is hilarious
in a
number of movies. But
yep. Oh my gosh, professors, we've done well. You've done well with all of these questions. As far as I'm concerned, spheres included. It's a perfect score for the whole day. It's like the best possible day we've had. But sadly, the time has come for us to say goodbye. Jim.
Sadly, goodbye.
Heather.
Bye-bye.
Beth.
Bye.
Dan.
See ya.
Aaron.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
And Mar.
Au revoir.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo. Thank you.